Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. A few weeks ago, we talked about God's powerful voice from Psalm 29. It's majestic, but that powerful voice is also ever-present. It's still in the world, and he still speaks. And then also, we noticed that that powerful voice was for a purpose, and that purpose is to bring us peace. Last week we saw that God not only spoke to Moses, he spoke through Moses, but the reason he had to speak through Moses is because the people didn't want to listen for themselves. We're too afraid of God. You listen to him and you tell us what he says. Now this morning we're going to take just a brief look at Samuel. So right off in verse 1, we find out a fact that we can't overlook, and that is that times are tough. Samuel is serving as his mother Hannah had promised. He is in the temple daily. He is under Eli's instruction. But the word of the Lord is rare. And that'll always bring tough times upon people. But the reason that the word of the Lord is rare is because Eli has forsaken many of his primary responsibilities, especially the leading of his own sons. Eli has settled into the path of just going through the motions. And so the word of the Lord is rare, and there were not many visions. You can also, if you think about this from just a wider perspective, Samuel was born during the period of Judges. Now, if you've never read the book of Judges, I would encourage you to read it today, but boy, put on some good glasses, because your eyes are going to water. It's a tough book. Tough times. And it's tough times because people are constantly turning away from hearing the voice of God. And they're turning to their own way. And they're doing what is right in their own eyes. But this boy Samuel is not the only one who's ever lived in tough times. Already this morning I've heard many comments about the tough times that we live in. And to be sure, they can be tough. But they will be made tougher when we fail to listen to God. In Isaiah chapter 30, verses 20 and 21, the Lord has given you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. But your teacher will not hide himself forever. Your eyes will see him, and your ears will hear him. Isaiah lived in tough times, and he's speaking to a people who live in tough times, and God says, because you've chosen the path you've chosen, you're having tough times. But don't worry, I'm still here. I'm still guiding you. And I'm still talking. In fact, he goes on to say, your ears will hear his voice, his word saying to you, turn this way and walk in it. And this will happen even as you walk to the right or to the left. But that's the point I'm trying to make right now. Tough times will always bring about not just the presence of God, but also his message. And for those who will hear it in the midst of tough times, it will be a safe guide. And for those who do not choose to listen for themselves, it will only bring greater adversity. But seeing God active in our own time and place is just as necessary for us as it was for Moses or the boy Samuel or the prophet Isaiah. We need to understand that in our tough times, God is speaking, and we must ask ourselves if we are, in fact, listening. So, we get into the bulk of the story, and, this little odd thing happens three times. Samuel, He's thinking, of course, that has to be Eli. Nobody else talks to him like that, right? You know, that tone of voice, right? So he gets up and he runs to Eli. Yes, you called me. No, I didn't. Go back to bed, boy. I'm tired. I'm old. I want to get some sleep. Samuel trundles back to bed. He hears the voice again. Gets up and runs to Eli. Eli's like, look, I told you I didn't call. Go back and go to sleep. But the third time it finally dawns on Eli, wait a second, I know what's going on here. It is the Lord who's talking to you, son. So when he calls again, this is what you are to say. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now, Eli's blown it with his own sons. We're going to see that in a moment. It's in the text prior to this, and it'll be in this particular text, and it's certainly in the text after it. And Eli, even though he was a prophet and a man of God and a judge in his own right, he had his failings, as we all do. But thankfully, he trains Samuel well. He coaches him correctly. The Lord is speaking to you. Answer in a way that indicates you're going to listen. And in order to follow God's leading, we have to learn to recognize his voice and to listen. So some of you will know this story, I know, because you're big Elvis fans. A few years ago, we lost our biggest Elvis fan, but we still got a few around here. So before Elvis was popular, he ate at a steakhouse called Lil Thompson's Steakhouse. Lillian and her husband ran the place. They actually owned a restaurant up until the 90s in that same area. They passed away and now their children run it. But Lil Thompson decided, now that Elvis is popular and he comes here, we're going to have an Elvis impersonator contest. They'd become all the rage in the late 50s. Well, the king got wind of it and thought, I'm going to go to that contest and just sit back and watch it. That'll be fun. So he shows up and Lil goes, you can't be here. People will go ballistic. He goes, no, I'll just sit back here and mind my own P's and Q's. Nobody will even know I'm here. So he's got a little entourage with him. He sits in the back of the restaurant. There's these Elvis impersonators. And finally, Elvis gets so frustrated, he goes, I'm going to go up there and show him what Elvis is really like. And, of course, Lil Thompson is pulling her hair out just thinking she's going to have chaos, right? He gets up there. He sings, love me tender, love me true. And at the end of his performance, the crowd just politely claps. He comes in third. Nobody recognized the king. But we have one far greater. And sometimes he sits at the back of the room, and then things get so bad, he's like, nope. I'm going to show up, and then we just don't listen. Eli might have known that Samuel was the real deal. By now, Eli probably sees something in Samuel. But what Eli knew for sure is that the Lord is real. And so he coaches the young boy to listen to God. Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And friends, I couldn't give you any better advice this morning as far as listening to the voice of God. You first have to believe he's telling you something. And you have to promise to him that you're going to do what he says. So he goes back and lies down. He hears the voice again. Samuel, speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. And at this point, we Americans, we want the feel-good part of the story, right? Boy, you are going to have a great life. You are going to have a great career. That's not at all where the story goes, is it? And you can tell right in the first sentence, because God says, son, I'm going to tell you something that if people hear it, their ears are going to tickle. It's going to blow their mind. And this is the obvious contrast to having itching ears. Tickling ears is when you listen to God. Itching ears is when you're only going to listen to yourself. But let me tell you what's going to make their head spin. I'm going to punish Eli because of his sons, just like I've already told him. I told him first. Oh, Samuel did not want to hear that message. And so he does what many of us do. We become afraid. We avoid the very person who is supposed to receive the message. And Samuel, this young boy, is dreading talking to Eli because he's like, this is hard. And if God is only ever telling you the easy thing, you are likely not hearing the Lord's voice. I'm telling you that right now. But he can't hide from Samuel forever. And the tragedy is that Eli knows his sons are out of control, and he hasn't figured out how to put a stop to it. He should have at least removed them from authority, but he doesn't. And at this point, you need to hear what I'm about to say carefully. God is not giving Samuel ideas. God is casting a vision of truth. And there is a big difference. When some idea comes across your mind and it's not going to cost you anything and it's not tough, you are likely not hearing the voice of God. You are just hearing what you want to hear. Your ears are not being tickled. They are itching. I've referenced this fellow a few times. I have a lot of respect for him. I don't agree with everything he ever said or did. His name is Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a very famous evangelist from a bygone era. But late in his life, he said he had one regret. He said, although I've led thousands of people to Jesus, my own sons are disobedient. And a lot of us have known what Eli is going through. But we should expect God to tell us who He is and what He wants us to do. And the who He is part should thrill our souls, but what He wants us to do is rarely, if ever, easy. And if you don't have risk, you just have an idea. Because God is asking you to pick up your cross and follow His Son every day. And if you're not willing to pay that price, you just have an idea. And you haven't bought into God's vision. But before we leave this part of the text, let me also notice that God's voice is always harmonious. Samuel, I'm telling you something I already told Eli. It's the exact same message. God's not going to be this way one day and that way another day. He's going to give you the same message over and over until you finally decide to buy in 100%. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. God's voice will always tell you the same things over and over and over again. It will never be in separation from the scriptures. It will never be in contrast to His truth. It will be the same. And if there is a contradiction, it is not God's voice you are hearing. And this is one of the principal reasons we should know the scriptures quite well. But heed this warning, the Pharisees knew it well. The Pharisees knew the scriptures and still did not hear the voice of God. Because they leaned on their own understanding. Instead of the King of Heaven. Eli heard the same message already. God's plain about that, but he didn't listen. So God moved on to Samuel. Well, finally Samuel finds Eli, or more directly, Eli finds Samuel. Come on, boy, tell me what the Lord says. Don't hold anything back. So again, he's coaching Samuel to do the right thing. Don't sell the message short. Give it all. I need to hear all of it. The boy tells him every word of it. And Eli has to admit, he's God. He has to do what is right in his own eyes. And we covered this a little bit in Romans chapter 3. Let God be true and every man be a liar. That's exactly what Eli is saying here. I know God is telling you the truth, boy, and although I don't want to hear it, it's the way it's going to go. But in these last verses, 18 through 21, Samuel flourishes in tough times. The Lord was with Samuel, and it is because he truly meant, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." That did not make the times any better, but it certainly made Samuel better. And having met God for the first time in the text before us, he stayed with God. He chose God over Eli. He chose God over his position. He chose God over his family. He chose God over his culture. And we need to be listening to God, especially in tough times. I'm certainly not a big Disney production studio fan, but they did make a good movie not too long ago. In 2011, Spielberg actually directed this movie called War Horse. Anybody seen it? Okay, good. A few of us. It was a flop, evidently, from the money-making standpoint. It's a great movie. The basic gist of the movie is there's this young farm boy. His dad buys a thoroughbred and decides to use it as a workhorse on the farm. And so he gives his son, Albert, the task of training the horse. And Albert decides to call the horse Joey. And they become quite close. And Albert has a whistle. He kind of cups his hands over his mouth, and he makes a sound. I guess the closest thing to the sound is kind of sounding like an owl hooting. But whenever Joey hears that, he comes running to Albert. Well, if you don't know the movie, it's set just before World War II at this stage, World War I, excuse me. Then World War I happens, and the horse, Joey, is sold to the army. And so as soon as Albert's old enough, he enlists and goes on a quest to not just fight the Germans, but to find his horse. And the rest of the movie is about this journey. Albert is seriously wounded, never having found his horse, and he's to the point where he knows thousands, tens of thousands of horses have been killed in this war, and he's despondent because he's coming to the point where he thinks Joey is dead. He can no longer look for him. He's lost his sight. And then he hears a commotion. He hears some soldiers relating that there's a horse outside that's about to be put down because it had been caught in barbed wire. And it's seriously injured, and it won't get up, and so the powers that be were just going to kill the horse and put it out of its misery. And Albert takes the chance and whistles. And the horse springs to its feet and runs to his side. I'm going to tell you something that y'all can see for yourselves quite plainly. I'm getting to be an old man. Don't laugh at me like that, sister. I know, right? You didn't need help with that one. God didn't have to give you that message. You got eyes. But I serve a God who's calling for us. And as crippled and infirmed as my body is on any given day, I am going to heed that call and rise up and come to him. Because those who are weary will rise up on eagle's wings. And it's not about my strength anyway. It's about the God I serve. The truth is, I'm really not all that good of a preacher. I'm just not. I got 40 years of proof. You want to hear it? I'll give it to you. But I listen to God. And I am trying to build a team of people here who will make that their top priority. We're making progress. But we need more of you to join us. And I don't care about how crippled you are or what you've done in the past or all the tough times that you've gone through. I want you to know that God is calling, and your best option is to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And this is the only way our congregation will flourish. And whether it flourishes or not, this is going to be the only way you flourish, or the only way I do. And if we do not choose to listen, then we, like Eli, will have to say, "Let the Lord do what is good in his own eyes." But he is calling this morning in hopes that we will listen. It won't make us perfect, but it'll make us available. And so the question is, since God will stay with me, will I stay with him? And if I do, like this boy, I will flourish in tough times. And if I don't, the Lord is God, and he will do what pleases him. All to Jesus I surrender. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. If you have a need, why don't you come as we stand and sing?